Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Is the food good here or what?
Yes.
I have really enjoyed it. I don't know if because we are being fed spiritually, it's making me so hungry physically. It's like... But don't you just want to devour everything that has been said? And what makes it so wonderful is that truth is in us.
Yes.
And when someone shares it, it just connects and it comes alive.
That's right.
That's what makes you want to dance around the room or jump up or whatever. And what I want to share is, have you ever been to a conference and you feel maybe not as good as you have felt today hearing the good news, the truth? But, you know, you go, oh my gosh, this is so good. You know, I'm going to go home. I'm going to read my notes. Tom and I went to a wellness conference one time. Health, nutrition. We heard about all the things you weren't supposed to eat. We heard about all the food and what certain chemicals that you lack. And, you know, you need to eat more of this and you need to do this and that. And, oh, I said, God... From now on, I am not eating any more sweets, any more bread. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to take these notes. They're going to just stay out here, and I'm going to apply what I have learned at the conference. Well, I went home, and I did read them. Then they got scooted over to the side of the desk. Then they got put in the drawer. Then we went out for pizza. I mean, have you experienced that?
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting here going, I am going to apply this. I want change in my life.
Yeah.
And you hear medical doctors stating facts that they know what certain foods or what you put in you will cause. And then it just fades away. Well, it might cause that in someone else, but not me. And then you really get mad at yourself because you didn't apply the truth.
Yeah.
You didn't apply what you heard at a conference. And I know that everyone that has been excited about the truth that they've heard here today wants to experience. Many of you may have already experienced a lot of what has been shared. But I'm telling you, even though God has already given us everything, He still gives us that choice. Are we going to apply it in our lives? You know, again, we have the life of God in us. But if we do not take what He's already given us, if we don't possess, if we don't focus on, if we don't behold as in a mirror the truth, it will just fade away. The first time that I really, Tom and I both got a revelation of the truth, and we decided we were pastoring a little church in Virginia. We did not know the full message of the cross. And we knew there was more. There had to be more. And we made a decision that we were going to get up. There was no more time in the day. You ministers know this. So we decided to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we did this for about 10 months, and we just let God teach us. We go, God, we know there's more. There's something missing. You know, we don't want to do this anymore. And, oh my gosh, He showed us the unconditional love of God. We got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we had just a wonderful time of fellowship with the Lord. And we were pastoring a very traditional, not really legalistic, but they were in a denomination that what they believed, whether it was in the Bible or not, this is what they believed. So, you know, we asked ourselves, well, what are we going to do now? You know, we're excited about this message of the cross. Everything is ours in Christ. You know, there was an exchange at the cross. You know, He took our unrighteousness and gave us His righteousness. And, you know, what are we going to do? But anyway, the first morning, God took me to a scripture in Hebrews. And it's in Hebrews 4.
let me move this because you're bumping your...
It's in Hebrews 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear unless any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, which they are not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. So the Bible said labor to enter into His rest. That did not mean anything to me. How can you labor to enter into His rest? And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that by laboring to enter into His rest meant to be a doer of the Word. To see what God did in Jesus at the cross, but start persuading your heart so with that faith you can enter into His rest. And His rest is the finished work of Jesus. See, again, as I was sharing yesterday, God had already given the promised land to the people, but they did not enter because of what? Their unbelief. And we will not enter into anything that we've heard today. If it's been a revelation to you for the very first time, you still won't experience it unless you personally do what it takes to focus on the Word, change the way you think, change the way you speak, and again, change will happen out here. But it is our responsibility to persuade our heart. Again, when we're here, the truth is so real. You know, oh my gosh, you know, we are sons of God. We have been carved out of the rock, and it's so real. But what happens when you go out and get in your daily activities and you don't keep looking at it, and you sort of lay the truth aside, and then you put it in a drawer, and, well, I mean, it did sound good that day, but, you know, I don't think it's really going to work for me. Or you hear a message that says the total opposite, which may be mixed with a little truth, and then the truth that's going to set you free just fades out. And that is the saddest thing of all. So what we must do to experience, again, everything that God has already given us is to look into His Word just like Jesus. I mean, I love, what was it, Pastor, was Arthur, wasn't it? To look into His Word just like Jesus, and He discovered who He was. Yes. We look into the Word and discover who we are. Yes. And the more we look into the mirror of the Word, the more we look into the Word of God, the more that we are going to be transformed. Amen. And we can speed it up by applying the principles of renewing your mind. You know, not just looking at the Word, not just hearing the Word, but making a decision that any thought that comes in my mind that does not line up with the truth, I'm throwing it out. If any word spoken by another person does not line up with the truth, I'm not entertaining it. You know, it may come in and like, you know, I really haven't done that, or that is the way I feel. No, wait a minute. That's not who I am. I am righteous. I am victorious. And see, if we don't have that Word of God established in our heart, what we hear out here is going to persuade what we believe about ourselves. Is anyone a photographer in here? Does anyone take pictures and have ever developed them themselves? I know my husband has. And he really... He told me about this because I've not done that. I've taken pictures and taken it to the store and let them develop them and get them back. But this is so neat because I really think about this in terms of renewing your mind. You know, when you take a picture just with a regular camera and you want to go through the developing process yourself, you have to be in a dark room and go through the developing process. Well, in the dark room, the light that is used to develop the picture is called a safe light.
Yes.
Isn't that? Okay. I'm getting ahead of myself. So it's called the safe light. And the image that has to be fixed, the image that has to be, fixed, you have to use a chemical fixative before you take it out to the outside, or that image will disappear.
Yeah.
So you have to use a fixative to make that image stay on that plain white piece of paper, because if you take it out in the light, in the regular light, it will disappear. So we really thought of that as the process of renewing your mind. You know, God has fixed an image in our heart of who we are. I feel like this weekend or this week, the truth has fixed an image in our heart.
Amen.
But if we don't do what it takes to make that image stay, and really the safe light is the light of God's Word.
Yes.
You know, we must go into the dark room or a room where the Word of God is that safe light, so that that is going to help develop our belief system about who we are.
Yes.
And the fixative that will make that image stay is renewing your mind.
Yeah.
Changing the way you think. Do what it takes to speak the Word of God, so that when you go out in the normal light, that image is still there.
Yes.
You know, when you make a mistake or you fail or you say something wrong, it's okay. You know, God still sees you a certain way and you can pick yourself up. But the image of who you really are is not going to fade away, because you've fixed it on you. You fixed it in your heart. See, it is our responsibility. There's so many scriptures about guarding your heart. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says, well, even start with verse 20, says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." And why? "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." So verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." And why? "For out of it springs the issues of life." See, we need to keep our heart fixed in the image of who God says we are. And we can, by applying the Word and persuading our heart of that truth and keeping your heart or guarding your heart. Don't entertain any thoughts. Don't entertain any words that do not line up with the Word of God. You know, in your notes for today, in renewing your mind, if you will just follow this, I mean, there's so much more that I could share. And it was very hard to just, make it concise and short so that I could share it in 2 days. But renewing your mind in Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you know what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is? That you experience everything that Jesus died to give you.
Mm.
It is His good and acceptable and perfect will that you prosper.
Yes.
It is His good and perfect and acceptable will that you be healed, that you experience peace, that you are victorious in everything that you attempt. That is God's perfect, acceptable, and good will. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so many people stress out like, oh, what is God's will for my life? Oh, I don't know what to do. What is God's will? God's will is that you walk in the abundant life that Jesus died to give you.
Yes.
That is His will. And out of that, when you experience healing and wholeness, your dreams, your passions will come alive. And you will know what His will is. Or, you know, you really... Yeah, He will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. He wants you to do what you want to do. And He wants you to do it successfully. So, yes. You know, again, everything that you've heard, I don't have to go back into that. My great prayer is that you will take everything that you've heard and that you will cause it to come alive in you every single day. And when you come back next year, we will hear success stories. We will hear, you know, I've been having a conference all year. I've been celebrating all year. And who knows? You may be leading the conference. You know, when we get so excited and just open ourselves up to the truth and really start applying it, we really don't know what we may experience.
That's right.
And it just gets better and better and better. You know, those of you that were here last year, you know, I know many of you have not lost the joy and the excitement from last year because we've been with some of you since we met last year. And it's been such a blessing, you know, to see that you have applied the truth, that it is still alive in you, and you haven't put it in the drawer, and it is a part of you, and that makes you know it's real. You know, it's not just words that you hear. It's life, and that is reality. So, this is just an outline that will help you in the process of applying the Word of God so that change, transformation can occur in your life. Romans 10:10, confessing unto salvation. Romans 10:19 says, you know, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as Lord, you will be saved. You have accepted the very life of God in you. And again, your spirit has been made perfect. You know, we are created in the image of God. You know that. You've heard it enough. But really, we are a triune being just like God. We are spirit, soul, and body. If God made our spirit perfect and the life of God came into our spirit, we've still got two more parts that aren't quite lined up with the truth, with the life of God. But again, God didn't want to make us robots. He wanted to give us that choice. Okay, do we want to be influenced by the kingdom of God that's in our spirit, or are we going to be influenced by the kingdom of the world? And that's where the challenge comes. Because isn't the kingdom of the world more real to us? You know, you can see it, taste it, feel it, touch it. This is real. The kingdom of God, somewhere. So we are most of the time more influenced by the kingdom of the world. But we know the kingdom of the world will pass away. It is temporary. This is permanent, the kingdom of God. So we've got to make a decision to walk in what is more real than out here. We've got to do what it takes to focus on the truth so that it will be more real to us.
Yes.
You know, what scripture is that? Let's see, I think it's Hebrews 11. I think that's one of the scriptures down there.
Hebrews 11, 3.
Yes, because we are created like God. He created the world by speaking it into existence. Verse 3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So, you know, what God did, He made the things that were seen by the things that were not seen. He made the things that were visible by the things that were not visible. And that's what we have to change our thoughts about, that. That what is in the kingdom of God, which is everything that we desire to experience, is more real than what's out here. See, we've got to be influenced by the life of God, and the life of God will flow through our spirit into our soul. And our soul is our mind, emotions, and will. And we are emotional beings. Does everybody agree? You know, we most of the time act or react from our emotions. If we feel good, we are most of the time going to be nice to people. If we don't feel good, we're probably not going to be nice to people. But we do act out of our emotions. So we want to do what it takes to affect our emotions in a positive way. And we can, like I was sharing yesterday, our thoughts really affect our emotions very much. So what we need to do is allow the life of God in our spirit to flow through to our soul and affect our mind, will, and emotions, so that we can experience life out here and life in our body, healing. You know, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to our mortal body.
Amen.
That same Spirit needs to be released. And we talk about the heart. And when we talk about the heart, we're talking about the core of our belief system. And we really see, and I wish I had a board that I could draw on, but we didn't get it. So, spirit, soul, and body. And really the heart, the core of our belief system, is really a connection between the spirit and soul. Just like the brain is a connection between the soul and the body. You know, you get information in from your five senses, physical, and it influences you, your brain,
Processes it.
It's the last day. Processes it, and it can affect you, what you think about a certain situation. So what we need to do is let the life of God in our spirit be processed with the truth that's in our heart and just allow it to flow out. Again, we were given a new heart when we received Jesus, but that new heart can be corrupted if we are believing something wrong about who God is, who we are, and, you know, what we can or cannot experience out here. Does that make sense? So it is up to us to do what it takes to line up our thoughts and our words with what God's Word says about who we are. So, framing our world. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
You know, I was in a bookstore one day, and a title of the book caught my attention. And the title was, You Are What You Say. And I thought, ooh, you know, what kind of spiritual book. This looks good because we're always teaching that. And it wasn't a spiritual book at all. It was a medical book. It was written by a doctor that was very, very frustrated. You know, he went through college and medical school, and, you know, he was just excited about all the sick people coming into his office, and he was going to help them. And he wasn't helping them at all. And he couldn't even analyze what they had. And at that time, I believe it was before they really saw where the mind and the body was connected. You know, it wasn't the what you thought did not have anything to do with your emotions or didn't have anything to do with your physical health. And he was led to a class where they taught what you think does affect your emotions, and it literally leads to fatal diseases. You know, you've heard of people having ulcers, you know, where they're stressed out and your emotions affect you physically. So, and there's a lot of diseases. There's a book that I read once where anger, you know, on a continual basis can literally cause Parkinson's disease. You know, if it's just absolutely consumed you. And you know, isn't that neat where, you know, God said, you know, you need to forgive, because when you harbor those bitter negative feelings, it doesn't hurt the other person, it hurts you. So there's a definite connection in what you say with what you think, with what you feel, and really what you experience physically.
Mm-hmm.
Health is so much tied into what you think and what you say about life and yourself. So and the power of the tongue, it's up to you what you want to experience in life. Yes, people can do things to us, but the wonderful news is they may do something to you or situations may happen to you, but you have a choice of how you're going to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to get mad. You don't have to feel bad about yourself. You have a choice of how to respond to other people and to situations. And the way you choose to respond will determine if you experience life or death. So isn't that good news? To me, and this is, I share this with women so many times, no matter what happens to you, you have a choice of how you're going to respond to this. Now, and I'm not saying, you know, oh, you know, it doesn't matter, and, you know, you go through life. Yes, it may knock you off your feet for a while. And it may be, you know, devastating, a loss or something. But, again, you have a choice of, okay, you know, I can stay here, and I can spend the rest of my life feeling this way. And it will eventually probably cause sickness in my body because I'm so consumed with this negative. Or I have a choice that I can start focusing on the Word of God. And I can, just like Jesus was raised from the depths of hell, to be raised up in any situation and to walk in newness of life. You have that choice. We have that choice. I would rather have the choice. You know, so many people sit in churches and just, you know, just tell me what to do. You know, just tell me what to do in this situation. I would rather it be up to me. I have the responsibility. God gave us dominion and authority over this earth. We have control over our lives.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking about thoughts, not circumstances, affect the decisions that you make. You know, and the decisions that you make determine the direction that you go in life. And that direction that you go determines the destination, where you're going to end up. We have that choice. Other people do not have control and determine where we're going to end up. We have that choice, and that is a freedom. So when we leave this place, which I cannot believe this is at the end of the conference, we have a choice of, are we going to possess, are we going to take what God has already given us and apply it in our lives so that we can walk in this every single day, and that we can say when hard times face us, we are well able to overcome it. And that really, you know, gives you that sense of hope, and it gives you a different perception of life. And again, it awakens things in you or dreams in you that you may have thought were impossible that are possible now, because all things are possible with God. So, and of course, I already went over the importance of the heart. Look at note number 6, establishing the heart. Hebrews 13:9. Verse 9 says, "Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them." See, we need to establish our heart in what God says about us, in what God says we can do, in what God says that we have. That is what, you know, our responsibility is to establish. There's also, going back to the safe light in the dark room, in Psalm 112:7-8, talking about the heart being established, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid." We want to go through the rest of our lives not being afraid.
Amen.
And we can. Again, we have that choice. And to me, that is such good news. It is such liberty, such freedom. So many people live their lives, and this is really sad. You know, what if this happens? What if? And you know what that brings? Anxiety.
Yes.
Worry. Being afraid of something that may never happen. But if you're even afraid of that, if something might happen, if you know the truth and if your heart is fixed in what God says about you, yes, you know, I may go through something, but I'm coming out.
Yes.
I am in the promised land. God has already given me everything I need for life and godliness. I'm not going to be afraid.
Amen.
You know, I might be, you know, get a little down. But we know where to go. We know the medicine that we can take. And it's free. We don't have to pay. You know, we've got the physician.
Yes.
We can go to His Word and persuade our heart of healing if we're experiencing symptoms of sickness. We can go to His Word, the physician, and take medicine of His Word, saying that we are prosperous and that He does give us the power to get well. And all of my needs are met according to His riches and glory. And I'm going to be well and whole. I already am, but I'm just not experiencing it. See, death, fear, sickness has no right in your life.
Right.
No right. No right at all. And when we are so convinced of that, when our heart is so established in that, when our heart is fixed in that image, many, many things that you think you're going to experience, it'll just go right past you. You won't even know that it happened.
Yes.
And when I first discovered this, I don't know, you may think this is sick, but it was almost like, okay, I wonder what the next thing is that's going to, you know, not be a really good thing that happens to me, because I just wanted to see if it really worked. That might be sick, but, you know, and I went through some times, and sometimes you may forget.
Yeah.
But again, if you've done what it takes on a regular basis to get your heart established in that truth, you're not going to be knocked down like you used to be. You're not going to be devastated. You're not going to be depressed. You know that you know, as Etani sang last night, you are a winner.
Amen.
No matter what. You have got to stay and get that image. Stay in God's Word and get that image fixed in your heart. So, how do we do that? This is the way we do it. You know, it's really the four P's of the Bible confession. Personal, present, positive, and passionate. Look in God's Word and find a scripture. You know, all the promises are ours in Christ. That's what my Bible says. So there's a promise, there's a solution for every single thing, every problem in this life. Did you know that?
Yes.
Many people do not know that. And if we start confessing that, and you know the word confess means to say the same thing as. So if we are experiencing sickness, we need to confess the same thing that God says about that sickness.
Right.
We don't need to moan and complain and, oh my gosh, you know, every year, every time this year I usually get a cold. And we accept so many things that do not have a right in our life. We need to confess what God says about the situation. And we will start experiencing the promise that's already ours.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's good to hear good news. But if we're not experiencing it, it gets very frustrating. You know, like, yay! Okay, you know, is this really real? That's what will make us, like, it did sound good at the time, but, you know, I'm not experiencing it. And maybe I just got excited about something, you know. But we need to do what it takes so that it will be real in our lives. God wants us to experience something real, or, you know, the word real in our life. He didn't go to all that trouble at the cross for us not to. And the more you see how much God loves you, and if you have not got a revelation of that at the conference with all these speakers, you know, there's no other way that you're going to get. But the revelation of how much God loves us, you know that He's already given you everything. You know that you are who He says you are. So it's up to us to get rid of what we say, stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. Anything that does not line up with the Word of God, what He says about you. There's a scripture, if you turn 2 Corinthians 10, one of my favorite verses, verse 4, chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is when we need to know what happened at the cross. And, of course, that's another whole seminar. No. But if we don't know what happened at the cross, what we believe is not going to be based on something firm that we can stand on when those thoughts come into our mind. You know, again, if we are experiencing symptoms of sickness and we know that by His stripes I am healed, then we don't entertain sickness. You know, we don't even entertain it when the doctor says we are sick. Now, I'm not saying you don't deny it. Again, it is true that you are experiencing these symptoms. But the truth is, by His stripes, I am healed. So that truth, it's not even thought, but we need to think and meditate on that truth so that those thoughts can just go out. You know, even if they're told to us. So we need to pull down anything that goes against what Jesus did at the cross for us. Amen. See, we really can't afford to entertain thoughts that are contrary to the truth.
Yeah.
Because again, as He thinks, so is He. If you think you're going to get sick all the time, you're going to get sick. If you speak that, you know, I'm poor, nothing ever works out, I'm a failure or whatever, you're going to experience that probably. So we need to speak the things that are not seen into the scene. Isn't that exciting? We have power. We have the same creative power that God has. So we need to pull down those things that, again, go against the truth of what God did for us in Jesus. And, you know, it says, for the weapons are not carnal. You know, we don't fight somebody. We don't do anything in the in the flesh, but the weapons that we have, and if you'll turn to, I think it's Ephesians 6, that's our weapons. And I know, well, I have a little bit of time. I don't know if I don't have that. Yeah, I think it's Ephesians 6. And the book of Ephesians has so many scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. And if you will take those scriptures and make them personal, present, positive, and be passionate about it and speak it, that truth, God's Word will come alive in you and you will be transformed. So in Ephesians 6, verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able," we're well able, "to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth." You know, it's not in a negative way. You're not going to, well, the way you resist the devil is turn to God. You know, what is, how did that scripture go? Resist the devil.
Submit to God.
Submit to God. Submit to God. And, you know, if you've got your back to the devil, he can't do anything to you. You know, you're turned to God. When we are turned to the truth, or as Arthur says, look to the rock of who you are, anything that doesn't line up with who you are really can't affect you. So to me, when you put on this armor, you're looking to what you have and who you are, and the things that can destroy you won't even touch you. So it says, you know, gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You are protected. You are made righteous by Christ. So no matter what you experience that tells you you're unrighteous, or if someone tells you that, you've got that breastplate. No, I am righteous. See, you've got to protect yourself and know that's who you are. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As one of the speakers shared this morning, you know, the mountains may be removed, but His covenant of peace will never be removed. God is at peace with mankind. God is not angry with man. God is not judging the world. He made a covenant of peace in Jesus at the cross. So we need to stand firm. We need to shod our feet. We need to stand firm. God is for us and not against us.
That's right.
So when you have your feet, when your foundation is the gospel of peace, no matter what the world says, no matter what you may think, oh gosh, is God punishing me? No. God is at peace. God loves me. He demonstrated His love to me at the cross. So the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, knowing who your identity in Christ, knowing who you are. Those negative thoughts cannot affect you. The darts will just bounce off of you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the weapons that if you get your heart established, and if you will wrap yourself in, like we were talking yesterday, in the cocoon of God's truth, of who you are, you will be able to walk in the abundant life that Jesus died to give. Is this making sense? Is this something that will help you? You know, again, when I'm at a conference, you know, I think, gosh, you know, this is all good, but can I really experience it? I don't know if you've bought that any. Especially if this is the first time you've really heard the good news. But I'm telling you, if you will take what Romans 12:2 says, don't think like you've always thought.
Yeah.
Don't think like the world thinks. But be transformed.
Amen.
Be metamorphosized.
Amen.
Be changed into the new creation that you already are.
Yes.
Be changed into a healthy person, a prosperous person, a person with love and joy and victory.
Amen.
Be changed into it by changing the way you think.
Amen.
And many times we think that we are meditating on God's Word. Many times we think we do have the truth established in our heart. But you know what? How you can tell what you really believe is by what you say on a regular basis and by what you're experiencing out here. Because again, what you believe in your heart determines what you experience out here. And you don't have to beat yourself up, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, I must not believe in the truth, you know, I'm failing. No, this is good. Like, okay, if what I'm experiencing out here, it must mean that I believe something other than the truth in here, or I'm speaking something other than the truth. So, that Penny Cooper woman was saying that if we change the way we think and change what we say, that will persuade and influence our heart, and that's what God's Word said, that's more important than what I'm saying, then I will experience everything I want to experience out here. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a practical application of the truth.
Amen.
And you know what that is? That is wisdom.
Yes.
That is the definition of wisdom. Practical application of the truth.
Amen.
You know, Walker was describing God as mystical. You know, and so many people like to think of that. Well, I never did. I mean, I just couldn't relate. I mean, how are you going that? I think that's what makes us take such a long time of getting to know Him as Father, as a person, as someone that cares about us and that can literally love on us, when we think of someone as mystical. But I believe that when we take the truth and start applying it in a practical way in our lives, it's like, God, you know, you're pretty smart. You know, you created us. You did everything necessary, as Arthur was saying this morning, to help us experience life. And all we have to do is receive, believe it, and apply it. That's it. That's not really a whole lot. And yet, we still continue walking in everything that we've experienced most of our life. And that's not who we are. And really, that is a product of believing you are somebody that you really aren't. You are who what God says you are. You are His precious son, precious daughter. You are the apple of His eye. You have value and worth. You are someone that He is well pleased, whether you ever do anything else from this day on. If you ever pick up your Bible again, He's still going to love you. You're still going to be special. That doesn't mean that you don't need to, you know, but again, you look at His Word differently because you want to look in His Word and find out who you are so you can experience all the good stuff. And that makes a big difference in wanting to go to the Bible and read than feeling like you have to go. I don't like to do things I have to. How about you? But when you want to do something, there's that passion. There's that life. And the life of God just flows out and it splashes over on someone else. That's what God wants. You know, we were really created to be a blessing. You know, God wants us to know that we're blessed so that we can be a blessing. You know, we don't just keep it all to ourselves. You know, I don't think we can contain everything. I mean, there were many times this morning I told Tom, I'm like, I just feel like I'm going to bust wide open. You know, because it gets so good. You know, I mean, every speaker just shares the different aspects of God's love. You know, Bertie and Arthur and Steve and, you know, you just, you know, it's just got to come out. And God created us to do that. He didn't create us like, oh gosh, I got to go to church today. Oh, gosh, I got to spend 10 minutes with God this morning, you know, read my Bible. Huh. You know, He doesn't want us to do that. And the person next door or your neighbor sees you how miserable. It's like, whew, I'm glad I'm not a Christian. Yeah, I don't want to be that miserable. And there's so many believers walking around today mean and angry because they have a distorted view of God and themselves. The world needs to see who God really is. And the only way they're going to see is through you, through us. So, I remember when I first became, or first accepted the Lord as Savior. And I remember hearing a sermon, you know, love your enemies. I said, how do you do that? I mean, how do you pretend? I mean, you know, I'm a pretty nice person. I'll be nice to somebody. But how do you love someone? I mean, how do you pretend like you love somebody? I never could get that. But when you know how much God loves you, you cannot contain it. It just builds up and splashes out. And that's what people see. You may never even speak a word to someone, and they can feel loved. Yeah. You know, they can walk. Have you walked into a room where you just, ooh, I feel at peace. You know, I hope he felt this way here. Yeah. But it's because of the love that's coming out of a person. You know, that peace. You know, there's certain people you just want to hang around with. Like, I just feel good when I'm with them.
Yeah.
And that's the love that's coming out of them. But if they don't know their love, and if they think that God's judging every action that they do, there's not going to be a whole lot of love coming out. They are going to treat that person the way they see God. And they are going to spend their lives in misery. So, you know, I hope that you're encouraged today that what we've experienced this week does not have to end tomorrow morning. I mean, I hope it's the beginning. And, you know, all the places that you've come from, you are going to be ministers of reconciliation. You're going to be ministers of the good news. You're going to tell people, this is who God is. This is who I am. I am who God says I am. I have everything that God says I have, and I can do everything that God says I can do. And they're probably going to look at you like you're nuts, but that's okay. They're going to see your passion. You know, I mean, I know I'm not like the greatest speaker, but, you know, I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about what we have and who we are. I want to experience everything that God has given us in Jesus. You know, once we go to heaven, we've got it made. You know, we don't have to renew our mind. We don't have to, you know, I hope we can eat everything we want. Don't have to worry about the weight. But, you know, but I want to enjoy life now. I want to enjoy it and experience it so it can be real in my life. So, you know, this is what God did for me.
Yeah.
I used to think this way, but I'm not thinking that way anymore because it only brings destruction in my life. This is the way I'm thinking. This is the way I'm talking because this is what I want to experience out here. So, you know, we don't have to go to school for 10 years to learn this. This is something simple. It's the love of God.
Amen.
God demonstrated His love at the cross. And the saddest thing of all is most people do not know what happened at the cross. And they are not experiencing it in their life. Or they know it, but they don't think that they can really experience it, so they don't even apply the truth. You know, because, again, you know, most Most churches have beat people over the head with this and made them feel like nothing. Where this is a book of love from Genesis to Revelation. God's love is revealed. And when you see God's love in the Old Testament, and my husband has taught a lot on the Old Testament, and to discover, oh my gosh, God did that because of His love. When you think it's something else. But the Holy Spirit can reveal His love from the beginning to the end.
That's right.
He never changes.
Amen.
So, it's about time. Let me make sure I covered everything. So, number 7, it says, do it, do it, do it. You know, it's not what we do occasionally that makes a difference in our lives, but what we do on a regular and consistent basis. You know, we've spent 3 days or 3 evenings here in 2 days, and it's really not even what we share. Hopefully God has spoken and has given you a revelation, but again, it's what you do with it that's going to make a difference.
Yes.
On a regular basis. And see, you don't really need us for that. You've got His Word. You've got the Holy Spirit in you that has come alive, and the truth has come alive in you. So cultivate it. You know, just keep nourishing the truth of who you are. Number 8, it says, settle the most essential issues first. And there's scriptures there about, and just a few, God's unconditional love for you, the role of the Holy Spirit, the finished work of Jesus, and who you are in Christ. Again, God has given us everything.
Amen.
We just need to be receivers.
Amen.
We need to believe and receive and apply the Word of God in our lives. So, Father, I just thank You today. I thank You that when everyone leaves this place, all of us, that we still have You with us. Holy Spirit, You are speaking the truth all the time. Because You're saying the same thing that God says about us. That when we feel unrighteous, You say we're righteous. When we're feeling sick, You say we're healed. When we're feeling like a failure, You tell us we're victorious. We're more than overcomers. The Holy Spirit is speaking truth all the time. Thank You, Holy Spirit. God, we thank You that You've given us Your Word. You've given us life. You've given us truth that we are going to take and apply. We're going to change the way we think, which changes the way we feel, which will ultimately change what we experience out here. Father, we thank You that You've given us life, and we choose life. We don't choose death. We choose to walk the path of righteousness where there's life and no death. Father, we thank You that we are overcomers, that no matter what comes our way, we will always rise up by focusing on Your glory, Your view and opinion of us, so that we can walk in newness of life. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we celebrate You, and we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.